your favorite Radio DePaul DJ? You can call or text 773-325-7341 to request a song, comment on a topic, or just say hi. Radio DePaul, just a phone call away.
Good morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, January 19th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing tutoring and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. The Equable. I'm your host, Gia Z, and joined with me, I'm joined by my co-host, the lovely Kate Harrington.
Hey,
how are you
up?
Doing, Kate?
I'm great. That was such a great intro.
Oh,
thanks for doing it.
It's my first time.
I love hearing you do it.
And we're also joined by our other beautiful co-hosts, Katie A. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Hope everyone's having a great morning.
Oh my God, yes.
We are. And Zoe K.
Hello, hello.
Hi, everyone. How are we all? It's a little warm outside. I had coffee this morning.
Yeah,
you know?
We're feeling good.
Yeah.
We got a fun show today. We're feeling good. Mm.
Yeah, so today we're talking about tarot cards.
Ooh.
Very exciting. Especially for me, because I love astrology.
True.
And they're not like super astrological, I think, but like it's anything that can tell me my future.
There's definitely a relation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Anything that's like,
Katie's
this is
wearing
what's going
to
happen.
Her zodiac belt right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to look at that.
You can't see it, but
wow.
It is beautiful and golden and
it's
it has
chain.
All
that's
the little.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's amazing.
A
she
look.
Came prepared. And we did do a tarot card or a tarot episode before.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that was
Lori Dietz. Yeah. Lori Dietz, one of our directors, her mom literally wrote a book on tarot.
Amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she brought in the book and was like telling us about it and
of
did a little
she did.
Group reading. So I'm excited to be talking about it again.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So our co-host Zoe K reads tarot cards.
I do.
It's like a thing.
We are so lucky. We're so blessed.
So thank you for bringing them in today and talking
course.
To us about
I'm
it.
I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited.
So our connection with tarot cards and the writing process, I think we should just add the little base layer of like,
mm-hmm.
why tarot cards, you know, because we're a writing show.
Mm-hmm.
One of the core values, I believe,
mm-hmm.
of the Writing Center is reflection,
mm-hmm.
And to reflect on your own process. And we were thinking, you know, tarot cards give you a little bit of reflection upon your own life and your own processes in writing, outside of writing, any kind of process in general.
Yeah. So why not writing?
So why
also?
Not? Tell me my future so I can further reflect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And reflect on the choices you made to get there.
Yeah.
Much like the
That's
choices
true.
You make when writing.
Nice. Yes. Connection.
Yeah, we should have an air horn, right?
So let's start with a little herstory. Zoe has a real cool source.
Some literature out here, which is actually, well, I have a little.
Yeah, she's got her sources, her external resources. Yeah.
So we're going to start out with some basic history by Stuart All R. Kaplan from my the little book I will be referring to in order to read and understand our tarot cards today as well.
What is the book called?
It's just called the Rider White Tarot Deck, which is the traditional tarot deck that is most generic and most seen, most popular tarot deck. You can get a lot of like customized ones, or like one of my friends, I'm trying to convince them to draw me a deck.
Oh my gosh.
Real high key shout out, please draw me a deck if you want to. I will pay you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So the precise, we're going to quote here from Kaplan, the precise origin of tarot cards in antiquity remains obscure. Court de Gobelin, writing in Le Monde Primitif in 1781, advances the theory that tarot cards derive from an ancient Egyptian book, the Book of Thoth. Thoth was the Egyptian Mercury, said to be one of the early kings and the innovator of the hieroglyphic system. Gobelin asserts that this is from the Egyptians and gypsies that tarot cards were dispersed throughout Europe. Mm. So from there, you know, as culture spreads, we get the diffusion of tarot cards throughout Europe, and Europeans pick up on it because they like everything that's kind of funky.
I was going to say, yeah, I read that they like picked it up as a card game, like it's a card game first.
And then it was outlawed for a while when gambling was outlawed. And
I thought you were going to say witchcraft.
Oh, I mean, definitely, it didn't really become witchy for a bit, you know? Yeah. It looks like it became more witchy post-medieval period when it was reintegrated into culture as more of like a, let's play this game called Guess Your Future.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a little like supernatural. It's a little like not of this earth.
It is.
It could get labeled witchy.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
But from that, we definitely learned this is not new.
No.
Super ancient. So there's something there we have to trust.
Yeah. It's been around this long, right?
It has.
Absolutely.
One of the things that they refer to it being called is a psychic process called psychokinesis, which is the power that automatically guided cave dwelling hunters to where animals were, and at the same time drew creatures to hunting grounds. So basically, just like that, like supernatural pull that we feel sometimes when we're like, this just feels like I need to do this. I need to be involved
it's
in
like
this in some way.
Yeah.
Yes, destiny and interacting on those impulses that are buried deep within us. You know.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
This is so exciting. So, Kate, you've already received a reading from one of our directors, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? What was that process like for you? And, like, how do you think, you know, we want to reflect a little bit on that. How did you take that?
Yeah, it was a long time ago on air, and it was interesting because she did a group reading where we kind of all, it was me and Brendan and Robert, some old Skrull team members.
Yeah.
And we had to like touch the deck and like set our intentions and all that kind of stuff together. And then I don't remember exactly the process, but it was like we all had to make sure that we were like touching the cards and everything so that, like, our energies were in it.
Like a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the cards being very good. I think they had to do with negativity and setbacks.
Oh, no. Nervous. What?
Yeah. But I think we did like individual ones too that with numbers and people. I don't really know anything about tarot. So I do remember reflecting though a lot afterwards and being like, what should I be paying attention to? What should I do moving forward now?
Yeah.
Which was like my big takeaway from that episode is you have to look at where you're at right now.
Yeah,
yeah, what you've been doing. Yeah.
So I feel like this is just me spitballing. I have no real idea how tarot cards work. So if you want to stop me and correct me, Zoe. But I feel
she's
like,
just going to speculate real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to speculate. Because what this sounds like to me is like... oh my gosh, I think I forgot what I was just going to say.
What tarot is?
Yeah, I think I was going to say something along the lines of like, I feel like whatever kind of mindset you have going into your reading is going to be very reflective of like what you get. Is that a false thing?
No, that's a very true statement. Yeah. It's very much like a meditative way of taking in the energies that are surrounding you and physicalizing them in a card form. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
so
it's up excited. To
both so you of gotta, you, like the person reading them and the person getting their reading done.
Definitely.
I don't think it's just like, oh, a psychic telling you what's going to happen.
No.
I think it's kind of like an interactive thing.
It's very much like a relationship between you, the person, the querent, and the cards.
Much like peer writing.
Yes, peer writing.
It's not a hierarchical thing. It's very collaborative.
Very interesting. Because it's the piece and how you're interacting with the piece, but also with each other. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes, good connection.
Thank you. Yeah, we are rocking it this morning. Because we're going to do a group meeting, right?
Yes,
we're
going to
do a group reading.
Oh, very excited
it's
about
very
that.
Very exciting.
Yes.
So let's just do a quick check-in. Our approach to this, you know, what kind of approach are we having? How seriously are we taking our reading? Because some people, I think, might be super into it, like me, where I'm like, just tell me what's going to happen to me.
Or tell me
like,
exactly what to do give me for every day for the next
give
6 months.
Give me something. Yeah. Like, I read my horoscope every day, and I'm just like, yeah, that is true. I should focus on intimacy today. But, you know, how seriously are we taking this? You know, like, what? How do you feel?
I'm super into it. I'm ready to get into it. I'm also super into astrology. And I think, again, like, honestly, the fact that Lori Dietz, our big head honcho director, was so
was
for
super
it.
Super into it.
Yeah. Shows that there are a lot of facets to it. Yeah. And that it can really be a helpful tool. I don't think it necessarily has to be any kind of end all be all.
No.
Right? Just another tool. So I'm excited to see what I get out of it.
I think we're all open. Yeah. I definitely just, like, want to use it as, like, the reading is some new things to think about.
Yeah.
You know? Just some things you might not have been reflecting upon before. Mm-hmm. Now you got some new ideas and a new kind of perspective to look at your choices in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when could that ever be bad, right?
No, yeah. Exactly. You got to be open to that because that's a positive thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's just a jumping off point for where we want to go with our lives, you know?
I love that.
Dope. Yeah. So we are all
amazing.
In it to
We're
win
all
it.
In it to win it.
How do we win tarot?
You have to get all the cards at once.
Okay,
it's like a 72 card pickup, actually. We're just going to drop all of them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah.
So our last question for our little first bit is what are we hoping to get out of the reading? Ooh. What is your, can we talk about like what our hopes are? Is that going to like throw off the reading?
No, that's a good thing to talk about.
So
actually,
is there like agenda setting in?
Yes,
there is.
Okay, cool. The way I read cards, everybody does it differently, and there's no wrong way, no right way. It's whatever.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You adapt different strategies.
Exactly.
It's like a very personal thing.
Like a writing tutor.
Like a writing tutor, very much. Like the first thing I always do is I always set a question that I'm asking. Like,
cool.
Like, what is my week going to look like? Or like, how should I deal with intimate relationships this week? I usually set a time boundary just because it's easier for me to like focus on within a set time.
Oh, that's cool,
But then I do a specific shuffling method, and then I pull the cards and we read them. So it's very much like, ask the questions. And while you're shuffling, you have to think about the question. You have to be reflecting on what aspects of the question you're really trying to answer.
Okay. I just wanted to know that so I could get a better handle on how I'm going to.
Honestly, after our show, I might have Zoe.
Can we all do,
read me?
Yeah, we're going to do individual ones.
Individually, because I got a question.
I got
some questions. But yeah, I think I'm just hoping that.
Well, so we're also gonna do we're doing a groupish reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
For Skrull.
Yeah.
Basically.
Here, I'll talk about the spread that we're gonna do before
the
break, so that way we can be prepared for it.
Yeah.
After our little
reflect
baby break.
On it.
Yeah.
So absolutely. This spread is from tarotsmith.com, which is just one of the many many online sources for tarot. Generally, I think it's not like everything on the internet is valid, but nothing on the internet is valid. Mm-hmm. So like, if you feel like it's something that you want to work with, go for it kind of thing. So this Tarot Smith calls this spread the game plan, which I'm thinking we're going to focus on how we want to handle our Skrull game plan this quarter. What is our intention? What are our goals? How do we want to work on succeeding and not succeeding?
Yes. Wow.
I like that. I'm excited to figure out.
And it's a five-card pull, so it'll be like kind of one card for each of us, and then the extra card that is Skrull as a unit.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm hoping that it'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it'll be good.
I feel it. We all hope it'll go well. Like, I would love it to just be like, just like ladies being empowered. And talking about
pure success.
Yeah, pure success. Yeah. Just.
Well,
just decadence.
Didn't Lori Dietz tell us that this is the year of the Empress and
strength?
Strength.
Yeah, because that stuck with me.
Yeah, me too. Right? Honestly, I think I need to like write that down. So
yeah.
I just
so 2018, the year of the Priestess and Strength.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Good omens here.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get into the break, I skipped a little question. I did want to get. Zoe, how did you get into this?
Yeah.
Like, what was your first
introduction?
Because
now I'm thinking.
This is like,
where do I buy? Yeah, a like deck how, of tarot?
Why haven't I done this?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I got into tarot, I guess, like early high school. You know, I ran with a pretty cool crowd that was, you know,
apparently, yeah,
pretty witchy. We were out there, you know, thinking we were vampires and everything.
That's
amazing. Oh yeah. Absolutely. But I've always been really intrigued by the supernatural and just things that are beyond earthbound limitations, because you know, we all want to be something bigger. We all want to be connected to something. And I'm not religious, but I definitely feel like this pull to be involved in some kind of ritual and meditation. And I think that
and higher powers,
and
for
higher
sure.
Power, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And I think that tarot is a really easy way to get into that. And like, because it's what you make of it, and it's individualized. There's no, like, the ritual is how you make your own ritual.
Awesome.
So I definitely started reading like that. Actively over this past summer, because I found my deck when I moved out here into my apartment, and I found my deck. It had gotten buried, but I found it, and I was like, you know what? We're going to do this every day. So over the summer, I read every day. It was like the first thing I did in the morning, you know, like, wake up, what's my day going to be like?
That's cool. Yeah,
your
yeah.
routines are very powerful to, like, get you on track.
I think I might start doing it.
Yeah, me too.
No, I'm like, you. It's like one thing, it was just like a daily card.
Yeah.
Just a daily, just one card, you just shuffle it up, you pull one card, and that's like what you're carrying in through that day. Mm.
So here's my question, though, is when you pull a card, like, say you pull, like, the priestess card, do you have something that you specifically refer back to, or like a specific
that
book?
Explains.
So I use my little pamphlet, which was the history that we got from, and it gives like basically like what generally the card means or represents. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the priestess, the high priestess is often representative of secrets, mystery, the future as yet unrevealed, the women who interest the querent. Silence, tenacity, wisdom, and science.
Whoa.
So, like, it's very much like, then I pick and choose from those meanings what I feel is really related to my
current
reading.
You and I are
reading.
Having a moment.
You are. It's pretty exciting. You're having visceral reactions, and I'm amazed.
No, because well,
that's so amazing.
Like I said, I read my horoscope every morning, which is like, and I'm definitely like, ooh, yeah, today I'm going to focus on this.
Yeah. But well, I feel like we talk about horoscopes all the time as a reflective tool.
Like,
just like about
if
who
if
we
one
are,
of us is like dating a new person, we're like, okay, well, what's their chart?
We got to figure out, how we interact with them.
No, I pull tarot cards every time I meet somebody new. I'm like, how is our relationship going to develop?
This just feels so much more like personal than like reading a horoscope.
I was going to say, this is much more individualized than a horoscope. But at the same time, tarot cards, what you were saying earlier, like, are for everyone, which was really interesting. Kind of just like you were saying, like, it's something that you can use to check in with, and it's kind of by your own rules.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing that I love about it, because, like, if you're having a rough day and you're like, I don't want to touch the cards, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really just like a, you know what, I need to check in with myself, or I need to feel... Mm. I need to see where I'm at in the universe, kind of thing. Not to be too cosmic, but
I just love how individualistic it is, because like I'll read my horoscope and I'm like, okay, but like it just so happens that I'm born in July.
Yeah,
you know, like this horoscope is written for all cancers.
Well, I'm sure we're
going
to do an astrological episode because
it's bound to happen.
Yeah,
of course. I want to talk about how people write horoscopes,
because I'm trying to talk about it a lot, but I'm like, no, today is tarot, right?
Today's tarot, yeah.
Today's tarot.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to it eventually, right?
Yeah. So, I guess, are we going to take a little break?
For sure, we can take a little
break.
A little song.
So, we're going to talk about, what'd you say about our game plan?
Our game plan as a Skrull unit.
Yes. Didn't you have like questions? Or was that just the spreadsheet? Was this just the game
plan? Just the spread is the game plan. We can pick a more defining question and announce it right before we start the reading, and then be like focused on that.
Yeah, we'll chat about that over our song break. Here's You've Got a Woman by Lion. Mm. We'll check back with you in a minute, Skrull Nation. Enjoy.
Maybe not.
Ooh, maybe not. One moment, please. Technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's on.
Is it this one? It may be the YouTube video. Do you want to try our second song?
Yeah, so just kidding. Not You've Got by Woman. Sorry, Skrull Nation. Let's try this again. Fire by the River by, how do you say this?
Harumi?
Harumi.
Nope, still not working. So we're going to maybe go to Howl for a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, it's fine. Just kidding. Enjoy some break music. Scrawl Nation. Today is January 19th, 2018, and we are here in the studio talking about tarot cards, talking about our future.
Getting pretty excited. Fun.
Getting excited.
We're getting real giddy in here.
So, in case you're just joining us now, we've been chatting about tarot cards and how they can become an incredibly useful reflective tool. Mm-hmm. Our lovely co-host, Zoe K, is
our resident expert.
Our resident really, expert, yeah. In our tarot. Expert.
Our witchcraft expert.
Our witchcraft expert, yeah. We just said Zoe's going to give us the addresses of her favorite witch shops.
Yeah, and know, she has a few.
Yeah, she has a few in Chicago. So
maybe we'll drop them
in
the blog.
Yeah, if you want to give
post.
Them a little plug.
Right. Yes,
yeah.
I definitely will. We'll drop them in the shout out. Yeah, yeah, one of them has a cat you can just hang out with.
Oh, that's dope.
The cat.
Yeah, of course, the familiar. Yeah, right.
Yep, literally.
Love that.
Little black cat.
Yeah, over
very witch.
Very witch. This is the witchiest year in my. This is the year of witchiness. So over our song break, also sorry about the few technical difficulties, Scrawl Nation.
Yeah.
We're figuring it out.
Yeah, we're gonna
you know,
figure it out.
I'm sad
it's
about it, but it's okay.
It's okay. We're just gonna give a little. You can just listen
happens,
to
you know?
Radio DePaul's mix, which is pretty baller. I will
it was.
Say
today. It's been
good.
It's been good.
Some it's bops. So we talked about our question over our song break. whatever that was. Yeah,
whatever that was.
What we're going to ask the cards as a group, as a new Skrull team.
So 2018 Priestess Strength
yeah.
team.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So today's question for our spread is going to be, what should we, the Skrull team here, keep in mind as we collaborate on our plan for this quarter's Skrull show?
Mm.
Pretty basic, pretty broad, but also very asking about how we can work together and what things we're bringing into this as a whole.
Yeah.
I also see a lot of similarities with SMART goals, right?
So
yeah.
Specific, measurable, like time.
And I feel like based off of this, we can make SMART goals.
Yeah, honestly.
Absolutely.
Tarot cards are a lot like making a SMART goal.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. There's so many connections like this.
Yeah. And what's the other one I always forget? Time.
It's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound.
Time. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. So like we got the quarter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very much like a SMART goal.
Okay.
Love it.
So I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
There's just going to be some noise, background noise as we begin this process. I'm going to shuffle the deck a little bit. Then I'm going to pass it around to get everybody's energies into it. So I'll keep
you
informed.
What does that entail?
So when I hand you the card deck, just be thinking about the question. Think about your past experience with a Skrull. Think about what you want out of Skrull. Just be thinking about what you really feel about Skrull. And just put those energies into the deck.
For
the most,
sure.
Like, really, not to sound cosmic again, but like just feel like you're giving the card something. We're going to go to my left, which is Katie here.
Thank you.
And this is cool because we all have different experiences with Skrull. Like Katie and Zoe, they just started. Gia's been on for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
Been on it for
a while.
A while longer, yeah. So I think it's going to be fun to see.
Intergenerational.
Yeah. Oh, we got a lot of... There's just a lot of interesting energy.
I think that's going to go into this card.
These cards. Low-key, while I put my energy into this.
I just passed these cards over to my left to Gia, I felt pretty great about my time that I spent with them just now.
Good. So you just shuffle
them?
You just like...
Yeah,
I'm
just going to close my eyes. Really I'll quick. Do a quick little, you know, like bridge, fake bridge. I'm not very good at fake bridge, but we can pretend that I'm good. Nobody has to see.
Yeah, no. It's a radio show. We don't
this
have to.
Purely auditory.
I'm passing the cards to my left, Kate.
Thank you.
Just close your eyes for a second and visualize.
Yeah, no, visualization is a good time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I have so many Skrull memories and so many Skrull thoughts.
Wow. Yes.
And so many Skrull hopes and dreams.
Fill them all.
So good.
I love that this is like truly an intergenerational. We're not generational because we're literally year, like one year apart each.
Yeah. But,
right,
but in college, each year kind of seems like a generation.
It does. Because
there's that much change and growth.
I like that.
All right. I, Zoe, have the cards again. I'm going to give them a shuffle and then we're going to start pulling, which is always the fun part.
Should I be nervous? I'm a little nervous.
Oh, I'm definitely nervous.
Yeah. Shaking in my boots.
I'm mostly excited. Unless it's bad, and then I'm nervous.
We can learn from
nothing
it.
Nothing is ever
energy,
bad.
Guys.
You just have to understand how it yeah. what it means.
Excellent point.
Things to ponder, things to be wary of. That's important.
And just like being prepared.
Knowledge is so much is so powerful, right?
Yes.
If we just know about it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing has to be bad. You know.
Give it one more little baby thing.
Yes. I wish I could do the like bridge thing with the cards and then you push in the bottom and it goes Uno cards, right?
And I'm like,
oh, yeah, no. Okay. Nothing. We're going to start with, I'm going to pull the first card. Then each of you are going to pull the top or bottom card, whichever one you feel. Don't turn it over. Just hand it directly to me, please.
Okay.
Cool. Card one. Katie's going to pull card two.
Mm. Oh, I'm pulling card three. I'm feeling a bottom card. Will you hand that to Zoe?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you can pull whatever card I want?
Yes, you can pull whatever card you want.
No, from the bottom of the
top. From the bottom of the top.
Come on, Kate.
I wasn't paying attention.
That's okay.
But I asked, right?
You asked, and that's good. All right, and this is card five. So this is a five-card spread.
Mm.
So we're going to start off by looking
at... Do you remember whose card is whose?
I do.
Nice.
The first card we pulled is the Signifier, which is card one, and I'm going to flip that over now. And this is the Eight of Wands.
Oh.
Which is interesting. Here, I'm going to read out what Eight of Wands is.
Let's flip over into that
book. She's got her little booklet, yeah.
So I've got my little book. We're gonna
also, what did you mean by signifier?
Yeah.
Signifier, so this is representative of what Skrull is.
Okay.
Cool. Oh.
So this is the...
At its core.
This is like what it is
got
right
it.
Now.
Yeah.
Like it's a sun sign.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're getting horoscope.
And it is not reversed. So the Eight of Cards is activity in undertakings, the path of such activity, swiftness as that of an express messenger, great haste, great hope, speed towards an end which promises assured felicity, that is which on the move, and also the arrows of love. which is very, very good. So, Eight of Wands is hurried thoughts.
Oh my gosh,
we are
guys.
Scrolling. This is the scroll card.
Oh my gosh, guys.
So then the second card is Katie's card, which represents the unconscious driving force. We're going to flip this over.
Oh, perfect.
All right, so Katie, you have the Seven of Pentacles reversed.
What?
That means pentacle?
A pentacle is just a five-sided star.
Pentagram,
but it's pentacle.
Because it's a star.
It's just a star. So, and reversed is just like, it doesn't really necessarily mean anything. You can choose to ignore the reversals, but I try to look at them because it does change the meaning.
Everything has meaning.
For example, the Seven of Pentacles reversed means anxiety about money. Which is an interesting, but money can also be like, just generally like, material.
Quantifiable things.
Okay.
So then, now we move on to card three, which is Gia's card, and that represents the external attitudes we are bringing to here.
Interesting.
This is the Queen of Cups reversed.
Queen of Cups.
Queen of Cups. This means good woman, otherwise distinguished woman, but not one to be trusted, perverse woman, vice, dishonor, and depravity.
What?
I love it.
So this is a very interesting card as well, and I think in relation to Skrull, this is definitely like, we're all bringing good female energy into this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we have some possibly just like trust that we need to work on as a team. Mm. I mean, we're all new to this.
Yeah.
We're not new, but
new team.
We're a new team. We need to build our trust and we're wary.
Get to know
of
each
this.
Other.
We're wary.
For sure.
Of this.
For sure.
Like maybe we should spend time hanging out outside of
Skrull. Oh my God.
Okay.
Yes, please.
You know,
wait,
casually.
I was just talking.
If we have to go tarot card shopping now. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We have to visit the witch hots. I guess.
What a bummer. This makes sense. All right, now we're going to go into card four, which is Kate. And Kate is how it does not succeed. And I gave you this card because you have been here the longest, and it sounds like you've had some up and downs with different teams. And I think you bringing that like prior knowledge to this is a very good card for you to pull.
Dope, I agree.
So your card is the Ten of Swords.
Ooh.
Which is...
Everything sounds ominous.
It does.
It sounds the most ominous, but it's like, it's so fun.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, Ten of Swords.
Wait, this is the...
This is how things don't work.
This is how things don't work. So this is you bringing what you know previously about how things aren't going to work out. Like what you're to be like, oh, wait, don't do that because that didn't work before.
Got it.
So Ten of Swords. Whoever is intimidated by the design, pain, affliction, tears, sadness, desolation, which is a very dramatic statement, but like, I mean, I assume this is more or less like.
Can you read the first part of it again?
Mm-hmm. Whatsoever is intimidated by the design.
Intimidated by the
design. And the design, for a quick audio description here, it's a man lying face down on the ground, covered in a red blanket, and 10 swords sticking out of his back.
I'm intimidated.
Me too, yeah.
Instantly intimidated.
Which I think...
Well, we're all feeling people. Mm-hmm. We all have like a good sensitivity and compassion about us, so that's I don't think that we should take any negative... reflection with this because
reading.
You should be intimidated by that image.
Yeah, definitely. This is no negative reflection on us. So, this is just you being aware of like how things have gotten twisted in the past.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, girl.
Okay, read the whole thing.
It's awareness.
Okay.
Ooh, girl.
Whatsoever is intimidated by the design, also pain, affliction, tears, sadness, desolation.
Interesting. Oh, man. I got a lot of reflecting to do.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one. And then the last card is me. Mm-hmm. Card five is how it succeeds.
Yes.
So we're going to see. Oh, we got the devil.
Love it.
And the devil is representative of, where is he? There he is. Violence, force, extraordinary effort.
Yes.
That which is predestined, but not for this reason, evil. So this is.
Predestined.
We are destined. I like extraordinary efforts and that which is predestined, but not evil.
Okay,
I don't
that sounds pretty.
Like the evil either,
but I like the idea of predestined, right?
Predestined, like
we all were meant to be here.
Yeah, we're
right
meant to
now.
Be here, and it sounds like we're going to put
in the
order.
Extreme.
We're
going to
put an effort. This is going to be a thing. As long as we put an effort, I think this will
force.
Be very good.
I don't think is a necessarily bad word either.
Absolutely.
We're a strong force here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What does this fifth card signify?
This fifth card signifies how it succeeds.
Yes.
Oh.
So how we as a group.
So
succeed.
How we as a group succeed.
Yeah. The devil.
Yeah.
Obviously. Katie, got any thoughts about that?
Well, I was just saying, I mean, I think I was worried about the evil word.
Oh, no.
And
that's fair.
But
that's fair.
Since it's already such a positive card placement, mm-hmm. and it's talking about our success, I think evil can be interpreted. That we're all mischievous. You know, we're all
a little witchy.
We're doing a tarot reading. Yeah.
On air. And I also think the devil for me has often represented like being more grounded than I usually am, because it's like just deeper grounded in what we really mean and intend to do.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of like, I also feel like when I hear about the devil in these kind of situations, it's a little bit of like humility. It's like, I think we tend to view ourselves as like good people with compassion who like are committed toward justice, but you know, we all make mistakes. And I think if we were a little more aware that we do have, you know, bad intentions sometimes, we could learn a lot from that and benefit from being in touch with our more devilish side.
This is an excellent example of reflection. Thank you. This is perfect.
Mm-hmm. That is a So overall, how are we feeling?
Great.
I mean I'm just, I'm hype. Yeah. I just got this tarot reading.
I saw Zoe just took a picture, right?
I did.
Okay, because this is going to be our scroll. As well. I think just the setup for the quarter, right?
Yeah,
no,
it really is.
We're going to want to remember this so we can keep this in mind.
Yeah, yeah, and I wonder, so there's probably like a billion books on tarot readings, right?
Yes.
With all the very deep.
Very deep. Like, we could do a second reading of these exact same cards with a different source right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, literally, because, especially because all we got, well, the thing is, all of the different arcana and the, like, the suits are represented. We've got one sword, we've got one wand, we've got one cups, we've got one pentacles, and we've got one of the majors. We've got all of the different suits represented, which I think is a really good sign, because that means we're all bringing different elements into this. Because like, each suit is representative of a different element and different meanings. So like, that's a very big thing that there's one of each of them in
here. I'm sorry, how many suits are there?
There are four suits: wands, swords, cups, and pentacles.
Oh, well, it's pretty rare, I would think, that we got all of them.
Yes.
So this is intentional.
It's a balance.
That means something.
Yeah. It definitely is a
That was not a mistake.
And
no.
We are succeeding by the devil.
By the devil.
Which is a major card. It's a very powerful card.
A forceful,
I
love
power.
That we got that.
I just wanted to say that I think that this has been incredibly positive. I love that we got a card that is discussing like female energy as well, because I think that is
Queen
very essential.
Yeah,
Queen of Cups.
Too. Yeah.
What do the cups represent again?
Let's take a look.
Let's take a look.
Do we want to discuss all the suits for a quick minute?
Sure.
The
absolutely. We're great with that. Yeah.
So will those be those will be the same on all tarot decks?
Yes. This is the general like what the suits are. Let me see if I can find the pages real quick. You can check.
But while we're looking for that, I also think along with our devil card and discussing energy and force and stuff, I've been saying, you know, people have been asking me, you know, you had your first scroll episode with a new team. How did it go? Like last week. And I was just so impressed, let me tell you, with our planning period post show, about how excited that we all were and are. And, you know, we have all these ideas, and I just feel like this creative flow coming through us. Mm-hmm. And it feels that everyone is...
I just got chills.
It does feel that to me that everyone is excited,
really invested,
enthusiastic,
right?
Invested, willing to put work in.
The work came kind of really easy because we were all wanted to do it. And we were already kind of driven toward collaboration with each other.
Very true.
So I think that's very... I think the devil card is pretty telling, just for me at least.
Yeah, no, I think that's the unifying card here.
Yeah, so what do you got about the suits?
Okay, so let's talk about suits for a minute. So we're going to start with wands, because that's the first card that we pulled.
Mm-hmm.
So wands are the suit of fire. They are the suit of originality, independence, and individuality, and untapped potential above all.
Ooh.
Which is makes
scroll.
Sense.
Which, yeah,
which
scroll.
Is scroll. So that's our scroll signifier card.
Yeah.
Second card we got was pentacles, the suit of the material world.
Mm-hmm.
Pentacles are the suit of security, stability, and the practical organization of our daily lives.
Okay.
And I, of Virgo, pulled this.
Yes.
Telling.
Yeah.
Katie pulled that telling. One. Very good. Then we'll move to the cups. Cups are the suit of water.
Ooh.
Cups or chalices are the suit of love, friendship, fidelity, and all matters connected with the environment, nature, and the seasons.
Can I just say that I am a Cancer?
Very genius.
Very good.
Yeah, wow.
Spot on.
Snatched my wig right off.
I love the swords. Swords is the suit of air. Swords are the suit of logic, focus, rational thought, courage, careers and organizations, examinations and tests, and change.
Snatch my wig right off.
Yes. No, this is a big deal. Oh, and these suit descriptions were from Cassandra Eason's Little Bit of Tarot.
Oh, that's
a nice little introduction guide. It's a little baby. It's cute. It's yellow. I love it.
It is really cute. I wish you all could see this.
It's quite cute.
Could I just spitball about my pentacle anxiety about money?
Yes, please do. Let's go around and talk about it.
Because I really think it's beneficial we all kind of interpret. So we were talking about our planning period and when we were kind of thinking about Scrawl in the course of this quarter last week. I think we were all really excited, but the main thing, you know, that was uncertain or that we might have worried about would be like kind of material things like, oh, can we get a guest or like do we have enough microphones? Like will we have someone to come in? I think we had so much creative energy and so many ideas and that was not at all a problem. But the more logistical things were, if we're going to be anxious about anything, it was definitely going to be that. So I think
getting things,
money, I mean, we don't really have like a budget. So I was thinking like, at first I was confused, but now I totally get it.
Yeah.
That, you know, we are so excited. We don't have a ton of anxiety about this, but if we are, it's kind of in the material world.
It's just, yeah.
And based on what we can and cannot control. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Nice. You were on point with that. Wow.
Introspective. So,
how do you feel about your Queen of Cups?
How do I feel about me? I feel really good about it. Because, like I've said, you know, what was it? Love, compassion, nature, like feminine. It was like feminine energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost maternal.
Almost maternal, which I think is great. And one thing I've definitely been talking about a lot this year in general is feminine energy and how I just feel like I need more in my life, because I feel like I often get very caught up in like male energy and like how,
I mean, we live in a patriarchy,
but like how I function in like a male dominated society and like how I function towards like other men and how men function towards me. And I think that last year I was really caught up in that, and this year, you know, starting Scrawl off in an all-female team, working, like, meeting a lot of new women, and my coworkers and friends and classmates, and, like, just harnessing and trusting in the power of women, I think is very relevant to my own goals and my goals for Scrawl as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, harnessing that female energy and putting that into our show.
As well as relevant for 2018. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So Queen of Cups, shout out you.
I think it's really cool that you were already kind of having these revelations and then it was able to manifest itself.
Because your card is like the external energies that we're bringing, and I think that's a really big signifier.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Oh my gosh. So Kate, what about the card that you've pulled?
My swords. Could you repeat what you read? Or did you already put it away?
I got it. Don't worry. Don't worry.
What is it about swords specifically? What is the sword suit?
So swords are the sign of air.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are. Let me. I just had it. I swear.
Because I was thinking.
Are you an air sign?
I have an air moon sign.
Okay. So their swords are logic, focus, rational thought, courage, careers and organizations, examinations, tests, and change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge for Ten of Swords. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have been on here for so long that I have seen a lot of changes, and I've seen a lot of, I think maybe the swords is like, could be indicative of like what we've tried or like what has scarred us or whatever.
Ooh, girl.
That we should just leave there, right?
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
Love it.
No, I definitely think that's a very accurate card for you, especially.
And Zoe, you pulled the devil.
I pulled the devil. And
let's
I also
kind
of
on
pulled
a little bit.
The wands. So I'm going to talk about both of those real quick.
Yeah.
So since wands are creative energy and we got the eight of wands, it's very much about like creating something positive and friendly, which I think is what we hope to do with Scrawl,
for
sure. And then pulling the devil, I think, is pretty on brand for me. I'm not going to lie. Just because I feel like the devil has a lot of implications in making sure that you know your own true intentions.
Mm.
Like, when people get, like, in folklore and mythology, when people are seduced by the devil, it's because they're denying what they actually want.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so I think the devil for me is that kind of card. It's very much like, what do we actually want out of this, rather than what we're like feeling pressured to give into or what we feel like we want to give people. What do we want?
So that's something to reflect on, I think, going forward as we plan and into the future and whatnot.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So our last kind of question to wrap up the tarot reading is, do you think more people should do this? And how does this relate to, you know, reflection and self-knowledge?
Well, G and I are about to go buy some decks.
Yeah, basically. I'm going to start my morning. I usually start by reading, like, news, and I'm like, going to be like, I'm going to add that to my morning routine, I think.
Yes.
Being reflectant, because I think that that helps me a lot in my day to day.
You know, mm-hmm. I am pretty big on astrology Twitter, and you know,
shout out Astro Poets.
Yeah, Astro Poets is great.
But so many accounts do like chart readings as well as tarot readings for like $10 or whatever. They'll do it online, which I just think is so cool.
Definitely.
And I think that there are a lot of people who are really in touch with it and get a lot out of it. So why not spread it to more people who could
find
meaning in it? People would be resistant. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People of like an older generation or people kind of get turned off by the fact that it is kind of mystic and cosmic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's nothing to lose here.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're just having fun, right? Yeah. Like, what? Who? It's, we're not hurting anybody.
Like, just something to be like, okay, I'll reflect on that.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't see what would be. Like, what's a negative?
Yeah.
About
what's
doing
not
this?
To like about tarot readings? Yeah. I think that self reflection, like 2018 is a year of self reflection for me, at least.
Nice.
And I think this is just another phase of that.
Well, I did also want to mention, like, we do so much as peer writing tutors.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
With reflection. Like, just at the Equable, we do our retreats in the winter, we do our orientations in the fall, we do coffee and commenting and in services every quarter. Like, we're constantly reflecting on our own practices, on our own like work as a tutor.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want more ways to reflect on it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Exactly.
Wow. Tarot, guys. So we kind of skipped over our second song break, but honestly, I'm not mad about it. So to wrap up today's show, we are introducing a new little segment. Once again, thank you, Zoe, for the tarot reading. Just give a little.
Yeah.
Give
anytime.
A little.
Thank
round
you
of
so
applause.
Much.
Yeah. Thank you.
You want to come in, set up an appointment?
Yes.
Someone. Some tarot reading.
Yeah, Zoe, if you want to plug anything to tarot read for people, if people want to seek out your skills,
you definitely can. Hit me up. I work Tuesdays and Sundays.
Come into the Writing Center for a tarot reading. So our wrap up. We're starting a little segment called "What You Reading?" Because.
Great voice.
Like the way I said that. A goal of mine for the new year is to start reading more things and being reflective just for fun and just to be mindful of what's going on in the world and stuff. And so each week we decided that we would bring in not all of us, if you don't want to, if you don't have something to share, that's fine. But if you got little something, you know, I read a cool article, I've been reading a book, we're going to do a little, this is what I've been reading. So, Kate, what you been reading?
So this week has been a huge week for like news and op-eds.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like it was like almost an overload. But that'll probably be what I'm talking about in what dream. Maybe I'll venture into fiction too. But my favorite thing I think that I read this week was, I think it's Gia. Oh, no. Taffy Akner did a New York Times profile of Tonya Harding just after I, Tonya, has come out. I haven't seen the movie. Katie, you said it was amazing, right?
I was a big fan.
Do you stan Tonya now?
Oh, yeah. You guys know that. I'm like the biggest Tonya Harding stan. But assuming what they portrayed in the film is true, and you really want to think it is.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So that was the thing about this article. So I'm just going to read a little snippet of it, which I think is the argument inherent in the article, because it talks a lot about like her and how she reacted to the movie, how she's like done her whole life or whatever. So he says, or she writes, here's the thing. A lot of what she said, Tonya Harding, wasn't true. She contradicted herself endlessly, but she reminded me of other people I've known who have survived trauma and abuse and who tell their stories again and again to explain what had happened to them, but also to process it themselves. The things she said were false, they were spiritually true, meaning they made her point and she seemed to believe them. So much has been made about the tone of the movie. Does it play abuse for laughs? Does it play abuse for laughs? Does it love her or hate her? Is she vindicated? Do we forgive her? Sit with her for an hour and you will understand that there might be no other way to go with that material. This is how she sounds. It would also be wrong to portray her as anything other than who she is.
Ooh.
Right?
Wow.
Which I just think is a really nuanced and complex way of looking at her.
Before this movie came out, before, you know, Tonya came back into the light and was like, I want, she, it was like, Tonya wants her apology is also an article that I've seen.
It's this one.
Oh, just kidding. I'll read it. You know, I always thought of Tonya Harding as just like that lady who capped that other lady.
Right.
And she was a figure skater. And I think that was very like one-dimensional of me.
Yeah.
And to not think that, you know, there's,
I think that's what the movie gets
story
at and what this profile gets at.
I think everything we're hearing about Tonya Harding right now kind of reinstates the fact that don't really talk about someone or judge someone if you don't know their situation.
Yeah.
And you don't know a lot of the time.
Ever, right. Yeah.
So I had a writer this week who was kind of making a lot of assumptions in his paper, and I had the same conversation with him. I was like, if you don't know, it's not really your place to speak on it or make assumptions about someone's life when you know nothing about their experience.
Yes.
So I think regardless of like the whole Nancy Kerrigan situation, I think it'd be worthwhile to just kind of look into someone's life and see what they were going through, which I think is what all of this is trying to get at.
A little empathy.
For sure.
Yeah. A little sympathy, a little empathy.
Yeah. What about you, Gia?
Yeah. So my article is discussing a topic that came to light, I think a couple weeks ago. And it's relating to the string of sexual assault cases that have come up in Hollywood recently,
mm-hmm.
and not even recently, just forever,
mm-hmm.
And the Me Too campaign in general.
Well, the speaking out is recently.
Yes,
that's
speaking
new.
Out is recent. My article is called Aziz, We Tried to Warn You. It's written by Lindy West for the New York Times. Lindy West is also a writer that I really enjoy. She has a book called Shrill, Chronicles of a Loud Woman, which I'm really excited to read. But in this article, she basically just discusses how this issue that has come up with Aziz Ansari and accusations of sexual assault based around not necessarily outright physical sexual force to physical, but coercion mm-hmm. is something that has been brought into the discussion. Mm-hmm. Coercion and just like the ignoring of nonverbal and verbal cues that we as women give. And this is discussing how that the conversation about coercion and sexual assault is not something that is new and is not something that, you know, is suddenly like this whole new thing where like the chase of women is no longer acceptable. You know, this is not a new issue. It's discussing how many pieces of literature have been published about this issue. She cites a lot of articles and books and stories dating back, you know, decades. And one snippet from the end that I took away, you know, a lot with was where did it start? Okay. Nuanced conversations about consent and gendered socialization have been happening every day. Every single day that Aziz Ansari has spent as a living, sentient human on Earth, the reason they feel foreign to so many men is that so many... let me read that again. The reason they feel foreign to so many men is that so many men never felt like they needed to listen. Rape is a woman's issue, right? Men don't major in women's studies.
Yeah, nice.
And so I think it's just discussing, you know, the fact that none of this is new. This is a conversation that we've all been having. And it's just been a single gendered conversation.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that, you know, it's the willingness to listen that is absent.
To pay attention,
case.
Right? Yeah.
That's so getting a little serious out here. But I think it was a great read. If you want to read more about this idea of coercion and sexual assault, I also read an interesting article that had an opposing opinion, which a lot of people have issue with, and it's understandable. Also from the New York Times, also an opinion piece called Aziz Ansari is Guilty of Not Being a Mind Reader, written by Bari Weiss. Interesting points about autonomy and, you know, the being a woman and feeling outspoken. Opposing views, some may be problematic, but that's for you to decide. So that's what I'm reading.
Articles both seem like they brought like a level of nuance into the conversation, and kind of how these allegations and these assaults play into like a whole culture that needs to be talked about.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's more than just single happenings. It's a history of systematic ignorance.
Yeah,
but yes. So
dope. We're reading great stuff.
We're reading. We're getting
knowledge.
We're
both of your pieces from the New York Times.
Yes, they're both from the New York Times. They're both op-eds.
Well, maybe next week I'll diversify.
Yeah, I think I'll step out. I just renewed my subscription.
Nice.
Because I'm feeling, you know, smart. Like a and
business
like,
binge.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, you know what I should do in the morning? I should just read the morning briefing every morning.
And then do
just
your
be informed.
Tarot
and
reading.
Then read my tarot, obviously. I have a new morning routine. Everyone, get prepped. But yeah, is anyone else reading anything? Anything they want to share? Or if not, totally fine. We can bring it next week.
I read something kind of interesting. I think it was actually in the Writing Center.
Lovely.
I think it was like really cold and I didn't want to go out to get food for my break. So I read, there's a piece in Jacobin called Red Diaper Babies, and the author was Megan Erickson. And she kind of, it was kind of like a historical piece because she studied all of these teachers who taught in schools during like Soviet Russia or the USSR.
Okay.
And it was, here, there was like, I think it's called like The Deck was really good. It said, in America, school is preparation for, quote, real life. In early Soviet Union, school was filled with life. So it was kind of talking like how these teachers didn't necessarily always have like the resources that we would think are like essential to the classroom, pens, paper, textbooks. But in order to kind of subside the need for those things, they would go out and fill these children's days with like experiences and like real hands-on learning kind of outside of the classroom setting. And it kind of reminded me, like, do you ever like go on a field trip back in elementary school and like, it was so exciting to just be out of the classroom, just to be out, like, with your teacher, like, in your, well, I wore uniforms, like, just, like, being out with all these people in their uniforms, like, was so, like, wild that you couldn't even really absorb that much of what you were doing just because it was so new. So I kind of thought it was interesting that if every day for these children in early Soviet Union was like that, how much they could probably learn and how different their learning,
learning styles
would be.
Yeah,
it was really, a good read.
That does sound interesting.
I'm going to look that up. Well, I think
that's what we're reading.
That's what you're reading. Wow, this has been a great episode, guys.
It has
thank
been.
You thank again you so guys. Much to Zoe for coming in and reading for
thank
us.
Thank you guys for
or not
being
coming
open.
In because she works here. So if she didn't come in, it would be a problem. But for reading for us, thank you for sharing things you've been reading and your feelings and
our reflections.
This will be a good year. I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm very excited. So I think that's all we have time for.
It is.
Scrawl Nation.
We'll see Scrawl Nation. Yeah. Same time, same place.
Next week.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Scrawl Nation. Have a beautiful Friday.
Front pocket.
This is Radio DePaul,
Chicago's college connection.
Ever want to chat with your favorite Radio DePaul DJ? You can call or text 773-325-7341 to request a song, comment on a topic, or just say hi. Radio DePaul, just a phone call away.